When we think about vehicle accidents, we usually picture the immediate visible aftermath, right? Like the crushed metal, the shattered glass, the flashing lights pulling up to the scene.
Yeah, absolutely. The wreckage is it's tangible. It
Right.
makes logical sense to the eye because you can physically see the point of impact and, well, you calculate the damage right in front of you.
But sometimes an accident happens. And I mean, the physical wreckage on the highway is really only a tiny fraction of the actual destruction.
Oh, for sure.
Sometimes the real collision happens deep inside a family. And the damage is something you can't just sweep off the shoulder of the road.
Yeah, it's invisible, but it's permanent.
Exactly. So, welcome to today's deep dive. We are looking at a really sobering local tragedy that exposes the incredibly high stakes of New York roadways.
And today's stack of sources comes to us from the law offices of Norman Gershon.
Right.
They've handed us a deeply heartbreaking case study of a recent fatal motorcycle crash.
And we are going to use it to, understand the broader legal, physical, and investigative realities of motorcycle and DWI accidents for, well, really for everyone navigating New York, especially if you're in NYC or Westchester County.
Yeah, the local focus here is super important.
Okay, so let's unpack this.
So we are looking at the events from the early morning hours of May 31st. Emergency responders were called out to Route 9 near the Norwich Inn up in Lake George following a really severe motorcycle crash.
And the sources detail that despite first responders attempting, immediate on-site life-saving measures, the rider, 31-year-old Brian P. Kilduff of Brewster, he succumbed to his injuries.
Yeah, any loss of life on the road is devastating.
It is. But the investigation revealed a secondary layer to this tragedy that is, frankly, almost impossible to comprehend.
It really is.
Investigators allege that Brian's brother, Michael Kilduff, who is actually a Westchester County police officer from Pawling, was operating a motorcycle as part of the exact same riding group, and that he was doing so while intoxicated.
Yeah, and authorities reported that he refused a chemical test at the scene and was subsequently charged with driving while intoxicated.
Wow.
Now, obviously, the criminal proceedings are ongoing, and they will ultimately determine the exact legal facts surrounding this specific case.
Of course. But just, I mean, it is the ultimate nightmare scenario.
It really is.
One terrible decision doesn't just cause a physical crash on the pavement. It's like a shattered foundation. It immediately collapses an entire family's world.
Yeah.
You have a family that is simultaneously grieving the sudden violent loss of a sibling while another family member is facing serious criminal charges. The emotional architecture of that family is just, it's shattered.
What is so critical to understand here is that the incident serves as a stark, undeniable reminder that impaired driving doesn't just affect the driver. It radiates devastation outward. It hits passengers, it hits families, and it sends shockwaves through entire communities throughout Westchester County, New York City, and beyond.
It's a ripple effect of trauma.
Yeah.
And, looking at this one specific crash upstate, it really forces us to confront the everyday reality for those of you riding or driving through our local areas.
Exactly, because the danger isn't just up in Lake George.
No, not at all. We're talking about the roads you travel every single day.
Yeah, and motorcyclists face completely unique, almost magnified dangers on these specific local arteries.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, think about navigating the Taconic State Parkway or Interstate 684,
The Sawmill River Parkway.
the Hutchinson River Parkway, I-287, the Bronx River Parkway,
Yeah.
and that's before you even cross into the deeply congested, chaotic streets of Manhattan, the Bronx, Queens, and Brooklyn.
Those parkways are
They
notorious.
really are.
They are winding, the lanes are super narrow, and they are packed with aggressive drivers. And unlike occupants of passenger vehicles, motorcycle riders essentially have zero structural protection during a collision.
None. Zero.
You aren't surrounded by a steel cage. There are no airbags deploying to cushion the blow, right? No crumple zones designed to absorb the kinetic energy of a multi-ton vehicle. It's just you and the unforgiving physics of the crash.
And our sources highlight that because of this lack of protection, even at relatively low speeds, motorcycle crashes routinely result in catastrophic injuries.
Yeah.
We are talking about traumatic brain injuries, where the cognitive baseline of a person is permanently altered.
Office.
Spinal cord damage leading to partial or total paralysis, multiple compound fractures, internal organ ruptures, and as we saw in the Kilduff case, wrongful death.
Wait, let me push back on that for a second.
Sure.
We know drunk driving is bad across the board, obviously. But riding a bike is largely muscle memory for an experienced rider, isn't it?
So why does a single beer or like a slight level of impairment matter so much more on a motorcycle than if they were driving a car? Doesn't the road logic stay the same?
The road logic might stay the same, but the biomechanical demands are entirely different.
Okay, how so?
Driving a car is like sitting in a rolling living room, right? Your environment does the balancing for you.
That's a good way to put it.
You are in a stable chair, turning a wheel. Riding a motorcycle is like walking a tightrope while doing math.
Wow, that is a terrifying visual.
It's the reality of the vehicle. Riding requires continuous active balance and the split-second coordination of all four limbs simultaneously.
Right, the clutch, the brakes, the shifting.
Exactly. So when you consume alcohol, it doesn't just blur your vision or lower your inhibitions. It essentially starts cutting that tightrope by interfering with the brain's vestibular system, which manages your microbalance.
Oh, wow.
Your physical ability to keep the bike upright is compromised before you even encounter a hazard.
So your body is betraying the basic physics required to stay on two wheels.
Precisely. Furthermore, alcohol severely degrades cognitive processing speed, speed perception, and hazard recognition.
Right.
Let's say you are on the Sawmill River Parkway navigating those sudden curves and heavy traffic.
Yeah, that's a tough road, even completely sober.
Exactly. Recognizing a hazard a half second too late because your cognitive processing is slowed down, that is literally the difference between braking safely and a fatal impact.
Because you don't have that steel cage.
Right. The motorcycle relies entirely on the operator's flawless physical and mental synthesis just to stay on the road.
Which brings us to the chaos of the aftermath.
Yeah.
Once a tragedy like this occurs, how does the system untangle who is actually at fault? I mean, we see the flashing lights in the police tape, but how do they look at a tangled mess of metal and determine the truth?
It's really difficult.
Especially when factors like impairment, speed, and road conditions are all mashed together.
It requires an incredibly intricate science called accident reconstruction. Authorities don't just look at a breathalyzer test and guess what happened. They treat the scene like a physics equation.
I saw a note in the sources about something called yaw marks.
Yes, yaw marks.
What exactly is that and how does it solve the puzzle?
Yaw marks are a massive aha moment in these investigations.
Okay.
Unlike a straight skid mark from braking, a yaw mark is the specific curved striation left on the pavement when a slipping motorcycle tire is still rotating but moving sideways.
Like it's sliding out from under them.
Exactly. And by measuring the radius of that curve and the friction coefficient of the asphalt, investigators can mathematically calculate the exact speed and angle of the bike at the moment loss of control began.
Are you serious?
Yeah. They can prove, beyond a shadow of a doubt, how fast the vehicle was traveling before the crash.
That is wild. They are literally reading the mathematical signature the tires left on the road.
They are. They also measure crush depth on the vehicles to calculate the transfer of kinetic energy. They review complex police reports, track down nearby surveillance footage, and this is key, interview witnesses before their memories are contaminated.
Because memories change so fast.
Rarely do.
And this level of investigation is critical because it dictates legal liability. Surviving families often pursue compensation through a wrongful death claim to cover the immense financial fallout.
Right.
But a big realization from these sources is that liability doesn't always begin and end with the impaired driver.
No, not at all. The web of potential accountability can be vast.
Right.
Liability can extend to a negligent motorist who cut the motorcycle off, forcing an evasive maneuver.
Okay.
It can extend to a commercial vehicle operator who was, you know, distracted by a dispatch screen. It can even involve vehicle manufacturers if a brake caliper failed at the worst possible second.
And what blew my mind was the concept of municipal liability.
Oh, yeah.
The idea that the city or the county itself could be at fault for the design of the road.
It's a complex but vital area of the law. Let's say a crash happens on a sharp curve where a municipality knowingly ignored severe drainage issues,
okay,
causing the road to frequently flood and induce hydroplaning. Suddenly, you aren't just proving driver error, you have to prove municipal negligence.
How do you even do that? Do you just take pictures of the puddle?
I mean, taking pictures is step one. But proving negligence requires digging through years of city council meeting minutes.
Wow.
Uncovering old engineering reports and finding a paper trail, proving the city knew about the hazard for years and willfully did nothing to fix it.
But, I mean, it's like trying to put together a million-piece puzzle in the dark while carrying the heavy weight of medical expenses, funeral costs, and lost income.
Exactly.
A grieving family isn't thinking about preserving security footage or digging through municipal archives. You know, they're playing a funeral.
Right.
By the time they realize they need that intersection camera's tape, it's been recorded over.
Right.
By the time they realize they need to measure the yaw marks, the rain has washed them away.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, how do you bridge that gap between sudden paralyzing trauma and the unforgiving ticking clock of legal evidence?
Yeah.
That is exactly why families simply cannot handle this puzzle alone. Insurance companies have teams of lawyers, adjusters, and risk managers whose only job is to calculate how to pay a grieving family $0.
Zero.
Izzy. And they show up to the scene immediately while the family is still in shock.
If the insurance companies are moving that fast to protect their own financial interests, who protects the victim?
Right.
Who steps into the dark to gather that fleeting evidence?
Right.
Well, today's sources point to one very specific answer for residents of the New York metropolitan area, and that is the law offices of Norman Gershon.
Yes. For more than 35 years, Norman Gershon has served as the ultimate equalizer for accident victims throughout Westchester County, White Plains, Yonkers, the Bronx, Queens, Brooklyn, Manhattan, and the surrounding metropolitan area.
The sources refer to him as the heavy hitter of the legal community. He is, quite literally, the attorney that other lawyers call to try their toughest cases.
That says a lot.
When a smaller firm hits a wall or faces a massive, heavily defended corporation that refuses to settle fairly, they bring Norman Gershon into the room.
And it completely changes the math for the defense.
It really does.
Yeah.
Insurance companies know his name, they know his willingness to go to trial, and frankly, they fear him.
And for the client, this high-level advocacy comes with no upfront financial risk. You only pay if you win.
Which is huge.
It is. The track record he has built over 3.5 decades of courtroom success is staggering. I mean, he has recovered tens of millions of dollars for injured clients.
Let's actually look at the narrative behind a couple of these specific numbers because it highlights what victims are actually up against.
Okay.
The sources list a $16.5 million verdict for an automobile passenger injured in a collision with a bus.
$16.5 million. Insurance companies do not hand over $16.5 million out of the goodness of their hearts.
Exactly. They fight that tooth and nail.
Yeah.
When a firm brings Norman Gershon into a case against a municipal bus company, the defense isn't looking at $16.5 million as a lottery ticket.
No, no.
They're looking at it as the literal, mathematically proven cost of lifelong medical care, lost earning capacity, and profound suffering that the defense aggressively tried to deny.
Right.
It requires an attorney who can present an ironclad reconstruction of the crash to a jury and dismantle the defense's attempts to blame the victim.
And we see that same relentless preparation in a $5.45 million verdict for a motor vehicle accident that resulted in cervical and lumbar fusions.
For those who might not know the medical reality of that, a cervical and lumbar fusion means the victim's spine was so catastrophically damaged that surgeons had to permanently bolt their vertebrae together with titanium hardware.
Just so they could stand upright again.
Right. They lose their natural mobility forever. Securing a verdict over $5 million means the attorney successfully communicated the agonizing daily reality of that injury to the jury, refusing to accept a lowball settlement offer.
And there are many more in the sources. A $14.5 million settlement in a catastrophic bus accident.
Wow.
A $5.068 million verdict in a sideswipe collision.
Unbelievable.
A $3.75 million verdict in another motor vehicle accident. A $3 million verdict for an accident in the Bronx. A $2.5 million verdict for an intersection collision in Westchester County.
These results reflect a level of preparation that is rare, and it perfectly aligns with what his former clients say about him.
Yeah, the testimonials are really telling.
The testimonials in our sources highlight the dual nature of his practice. He brings deep, genuine compassion for what the family's going through, combined with a fierce, uncompromising courtroom presence.
One former client put it plainly, calling him, quote, a brilliant attorney, a beast in the courtroom. He's an excellent lawyer and someone that I consider a friend.
I mean, a beast in the courtroom, that is exactly who you want when you are scaring down an insurance monolith that wants to minimize your suffering.
Absolutely.
Another client wrote, quote, a good attorney can make all the difference in the world, and Norman is the rare breed of lawyer that everyone wants on their side. They constantly praise his responsiveness, his trial skills, and his ability to secure verdicts that consistently exceed expectations.
So what does this all mean for you listening today?
Yeah.
It means that if you or a loved one has been injured in a motorcycle accident, a car accident, a truck accident, or if you are facing the unimaginable reality of a wrongful death incident anywhere in the New York City metropolitan area or Westchester County, you need to understand your legal rights immediately.
You cannot wait for the evidence to wash away.
Right. Every single case at the law offices of Norman Gershon receives the intense attention, the meticulous preparation, and the high-level trial advocacy that a serious injury claim deserves.
Do not wait for the insurance companies to build a narrative against you.
Exactly.
Secure the trial advocacy you deserve. Call the law offices of Norman Gershon right now at 914-485-1444. Let me repeat that. Grab a pen or put it in your phone. That is 914-485-1444. They are ready to fight for maximum compensation for you.
As we wrap up today's deep dive, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over, tracing back to the tragedy in Lake George that we started with.
Yeah.
When a fatal crash involves family members, like the incredibly complex case of the Kilduff brothers, how does our civil and criminal justice system balance the absolute societal need for legal accountability with the profound, complicated grief of a family that has just lost a loved one while another simultaneously faces a prison sentence?
It is a haunting question. And it really exposes the limits of what the law can fix.
It does.
The roads in New York are incredibly unforgiving. One bad decision involving alcohol, one moment of impairment on a tightrope, can create wreckage that goes so much deeper than bent metal on the highway. It can shatter the invisible foundation of a family.
So true.
And when that unimaginable worst-case scenario happens, having a feared and respected advocate to help you navigate the aftermath is not just important, it's critical. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. Please protect your rights, protect your family, and stay safe out there on the roads.